Hello, it's Tuesday, May 9th, and you're listening to Wing Radio. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing Radio, which can be found at www.wingtv.net. It's a beautiful afternoon here in Pennsylvania. And since we're talking about Pennsylvania, we're in Pennsylvania, our guest today is Mr. Russ Diamond. He's a founder of PA Clean Sweep, and he's also a gubernatorial candidate for the governorship of Pennsylvania. He's going to run against Ed Rendell and Lynn Swann. His website can be found at russdiamond.org. And we've interviewed Russ a couple times before, and we also had the privilege of meeting him last September, I believe it was, down in Harrisburg in front of the state capitol when they had a rally there. They had a massive 25-foot pig out in front of the Capitol on the steps. We got to go inside the Capitol building to the governor's office, had a petition.
And I think there were about 2,500 people in attendance at that rally. It was awesome.
Yeah, so anyways, we're very pleased to bring Russ Diamond on today. And anyone listening to this interview, I hope you know this isn't going to be real objective because we hope Russ Diamond beats Ed Rendell and Lynn Swann this fall. So, Russ, welcome to Wing TV.
Good afternoon, Victor and Lisa. How are you?
Really
good. How are you? Yeah.
I'm just doing dandy.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you've been real busy lately. We see all the emails that you send out, and it seems like there's really a lot of momentum starting to follow your campaign. But to start off today, first of all, let everyone know how they can find your website.
Well, they can find our website at russdiamond.org, and it's very easy to find, Russ Diamond. My first name has two S's. The last name spelled just like the rock, so it's russdiamond.org, and they can all find that on the Internet.
All right, very good. Well, before we jump into everything, tell everyone how this all began. It was last summer, our illustrious legislators down in Harrisburg voted themselves a massive pay raise, and shortly thereafter, you founded PA Clean Sweep. Take it from there, Russ.
Well, I did found PA Clean Sweep, and I found it basically on the impetus of a comment my nephew, or some comments that my nephew made to me. My nephew is 27 years old, doesn't pay much attention to politics, but he was absolutely livid about my senator's $34,000 pay raise, because he doesn't even make $34,000 in a year. And it occurred to me that if he, someone who is goes through life with political blinders on, has paid attention and got upset about this, that maybe some other Pennsylvanians are upset about it too. And so I launched this four-page website basically saying, hey, let's get together, let's raise some candidates, and let's toss these people out of office. And, you know, I had no idea it would take off like it did. It was like holding a ball of lightning in my hand. And since then, we've raised 113 candidates across the Commonwealth to run for legislative office. Now, I'm not officially affiliated with PA Clean Sweep anymore because when I decided to enter the gubernatorial race, I stepped down because I didn't want anybody to, you know, think I'm trying to steer this thing, you know, just for myself or anything like that. So I've stepped down from PA Clean Sweep, but I'm very, very proud of the work we did at PA Clean Sweep and raising all those candidates and, of course, taking out a Supreme Court justice, forcing the legislature to change their minds about the pay raise and repeal the whole thing. We've had a wonderful awakening of the sleeping giant in Pennsylvania, and I'm so proud to have been a very, very small part of that.
And we're very proud of you. Legislators in Harrisburg are there about 70 to 80 days out of the year, and in return for 70 to 80 days in the Capitol, they produce consistently late budgets, and they've provided lousy economic stewardship. So what do you think is fair compensation for them to be making as a salary?
Well, you know, a lot of people have asked me that, and, you know, the truth is that the fight against the pay raise never had to do with anything about how much a legislator should make. It was about the process of how they went about giving themselves
right.
the pay raise.
Right.
And the fact that it was an egregious amount of a raise compared to what most Pennsylvanians get. And I believe, you know, if you want to get back to the amount a legislator should be paid, I'm not sure how much they should be paid, but any raise any annual raise they get should be based on merit. And if we're going to do that in Pennsylvania, I think we'd probably end up knocking our legislators back to about minimum wage.
Right. Yeah. And, Russ, tell everybody how these legislators went about it. Didn't they do it in the dead of night and then sneak out of town?
Yes, it was a dark and stormy night, as they say. Actually, it was a swarmy night. It was 2 a.m., on July 7th, 2005. And generally, the Constitution says that any bill that goes through the legislature and is to become a law needs to sit in front of each chamber of the House for three consecutive days, or three separate legislative days. So it needs to have six different legislative days, three in the Senate, three in the House of Representatives. What they did with this bill was the same thing they do with many, many bills in Harrisburg, is they push it five-sixths of the way through the process, and then it gets sent to some committee. And with this particular bill, it was originally a very, very small bill, a couple pages, a few lines about executive salaries. What they did was they took it and sent it to committee. They stripped all the text out of it, same thing they did with the slots bill back in 2004. And then they replaced it with this huge amendment and sent it back to the House for a final vote. Now, the House only got this bill 15 minutes before the floor vote. So that tells me that no legislator actually read it. Uh-huh. Very few legislators actually knew what was in it, and they were just asked to vote on it. So they voted on it at 2 o'clock in the morning, and voila, here we have a 16-54% pay raise for our legislators. Also included some pay raises for the judicial branch uh-huh. and the executive branch. After the House passed it and the Senate approved it, then they sent it to the governor, and the governor very, very quickly signed it. And what he said after that, when asked for comment, was, "Hey, it's legal, and that's all I'm saying about it." And of course, he said about five different things other than that since then, saying, "Well, it's possibly illegal." He said, "Well, this is the kind of thing that gives government a black eye." But you know what, Governor? You signed it.
That's right.
You signed it. Just like all those legislators who voted for it, you signed it, you approved it, you're the man who could have stopped it.
Russ, most voters may not realize the level of manipulation and backroom maneuvering that goes on in these legislative districts between the political parties, with the party bosses kissing butt with elected officials, and how endorsements for candidates are generally bought and sold. Is this also true at the level of governor?
Well, yeah. The governor himself, a couple weeks ago, said that the reason he signed the pay raise was to kiss a little butt, quote-unquote, of the legislature. Now, how things work for the governor are a little bit different. There's no district to gerrymander like they do with the legislative districts. We've got the whole Commonwealth. There is a certain level of, when you look at it, it seems like it's pay to play for any elective office in Pennsylvania. In other words, if you kowtow to lobbyists, if you kowtow to special interests, chances are you're going to get a nice little campaign contribution from that special interest. The special interest I'm very interested right now in connection with the governor's race is the gambling interest.
Right.
This whole casino or slot machine gambling that has come to us in the last 2 years, it has turned into nothing but an absolute mess. They did it the wrong way. In fact, that bill was passed in the very same unconstitutional manner that the pay raise was passed in. And since that time, this has become nothing but a mess in Pennsylvania. I mean, we have people who are connecting with this gaming board. We've got them in drunken barroom fights in Harrisburg. We've got one person who somehow dropped his girlfriend, or I don't know what happened, but his girlfriend dropped 23 stories and fell to her death from a high rise in Harrisburg.
Wow.
Got a gaming board member who has falsified his credentials in order to get on the gaming board. We've got the chief lobbyist for gaming who just pled guilty to mail fraud. And the reason he pled guilty to mail fraud was because he was apparently embezzling money from his lobbying firm to do what? To feed his own personal gambling habit. You tie that in with all this political contributions that are coming in from, gambling interests, and there's some people here with some shady past and some questionable characters, and all this is happening, and not one slots license has yet been issued, not one one-armed bandit has yet to be pulled, not one jackpot has been paid out to a Pennsylvania citizen.
And you know,
we've got 14 of these licenses that are supposed to be issued, and what that means is that there's 14 communities in Pennsylvania who are going to have to deal with the very, very real social detrimental effects of having gambling establishment in their
right.
I think that the Commonwealth went about this the wrong way. And quite frankly, the governor sold the Commonwealth on this idea when he was running for election in 2002 as a carrot on a stick. Mm-hmm. He said, well, if we do this, I'll be able to cut property taxes 30%. Well, what's happening now is that the carrot's gone, and all we have left is the stick. And all that bad stuff I was talking about, that's the stick. We're going to get beat over the head with this. This thing is just not turning out good for Pennsylvanians. I think we ought to repeal that bill.
And, you know, whenever we talk about Ed Rendell, it seems like it's an episode of The Sopranos. It's so dirty, so corrupt.
Yeah.
And right now, Russ, these midterm elections coming up in Pennsylvania and all across the country, I think are probably the most important since maybe the midterms of 1994,
mm-hmm.
when Newt Gingrich and his guys swept in there. In Pennsylvania, we have the governor's race, Ed Rendell, The Soprano, versus former Pittsburgh Steeler and Hall of Famer Lynn Swann. Then in the Senate, we have Rick Santorum, who's known nationwide, running against William Casey Jr., who's the son of the former governor of Pennsylvania. So I want to look at your two opponents, upcoming opponents, in the gubernatorial race. First of all, there's Lynn Swann. And as you've pointed out in your emails and articles, that there's a hypocrisy to him. He seems to point out and be critical of the Democrats who voted for the pay raise last year. But whenever he's questioned about the Republicans, it seems like he's either scurried out of the room or he fumbles for an answer. Does Lynn Swann stand for anything?
You know, I've met Lynn Swann on a couple occasions, and I have to tell you that Lynn Swann is the nicest guy in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But you're absolutely right. There is sort of a dichotomy to his attitude about the pay raise, because he hammers Ed Rendell about the pay raise left and right, because Ed Rendell, after all, is the one man who could have stopped it in its tracks with a veto. And I agree with Mr. Swann on that 100%.
Mm-hmm.
However, when then you start talking about the architects of the pay raise, the Bob Jubileers, the Sam Smiths.
Yeah.
Well, Lynn Swann doesn't have a lot of room to criticize them because those people are funding his campaign.
Right.
You know, he also has a dichotomy on the gambling issue. He says he's opposed to gambling, yet when he takes office, he says, well, I have to work with whatever I inherit. And on the other hand, he received a $100,000 donation from Ms. Maggie Hardy, who happens to be a part owner of the Nemacolin's Woodlands Resort, where they're looking to get a slots license.
How convenient.
So there's a lot of duality in Lynn Swann's campaign. Now, when it boils down to it, I actually, at some points in time, I feel sorry for Lynn Swann, because I honestly believe that he probably entertained the idea of running for governor because some powerful Republicans approached him and said, we'd really like you to run. But I don't think that he actually saw what was behind that effort. And what was behind that effort is, you know, first of all, you know, his race is obviously geared to, you know, attract, you know, some of the black vote in Philadelphia and Pittsburgh. There's no doubt that they were looking for a black candidate to do that. And because the GOP has done that in two other states, Virginia, and it might be Ohio or Illinois, I can't be sure about it. But it's a concerted effort by the GOP to try to get more minorities in the GOP. And you know, there's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
However, I think that Lynn Swann did not investigate the people who were putting him up.
Right.
And I think now he's starting to realize it. And I kind of do feel sorry for him because he's being used. He seems like a real honest guy, but he can't come out and just say, you know, Bob Jubileer, architect of the pay raise, I think he should be voted out. Well, because Bob Jubileer gave him $15,000.
Yeah.
He can't say Sam Smith, architect in the House of Representatives of the pay raise, he needs to be voted out. Well, Sam Smith gave him $1,000. You know, so there's a duality there, and he's kind of caught between a rock and the hard place, especially on this most vocal issue we have in Pennsylvania, which is the pay raise.
Yeah.
And you know, the pay raise being a nice encapsulation of everything that's wrong in Harrisburg. So what we have there is, obviously, we're going to have business as usual if we elect Ed Rendell. But the truth is, we'll have business as usual just like that if we elect Lynn Swann. Mm-hmm. And what I'm looking to do is go to Harrisburg and end business as usual. Business as usual is not serving the people of Pennsylvania very well at all.
You're right.
Or the nation, for that matter. incumbents generally survive because there's a machine driving this whole political process where they're able to raise a lot of money. So I'm sure you're facing a lot of challenges in what you're intending to do. How do we mobilize and coordinate more citizen action to help you progress?
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, there's going to be a very big money differential in between what Ed Rendell and Lynn Swann can raise and what I can raise. I'm not going to get the $100,000 contributions from the gambling interest because even if they'd offer them, I wouldn't take it because there would be strings attached, and I'm not a person who likes to have strings attached. What we have to do is we have to do the same sort of grassroots effort that we did last year for the Supreme Court retention vote. And if we look at the numbers from that, I mean, that can tell you exactly what is possible in Pennsylvania in the gubernatorial race this year. Because those two justices spent over $800,000 to keep themselves on the bench. And the activist groups who advocated a no vote on them, all told, I don't think that altogether we spent $300 on that. Mm-hmm. So there is a way to do it with very, very little money. But it does take people on the ground, boots on the ground, and networking and grassroots action. And the thing we're trying to do right now is get people to download our petition from my website, which is something the Department of State did a huge favor for us this year in that they put that form, that petition, in a form that we can have downloadable from the website, and get out and gather signatures for us, because I do need 67,000 signatures just to get on the ballot. That's compared to Ed Rendell and Lynn Swann, who only needed 2,000 each.
Yeah,
so we're trying to mobilize a ground force, an army, to get out there and do that. Actually, our big push right now is to get people out at the primary polls so that when they're freshly coming out of the polls, they've already voted, and it's fresh on their mind that they had, whether they're a Democrat or Republican, they had absolutely no choice in the governor's race. There's no primary race this year for the governor. When they come out of the polls, we're going to try and get them to sign for another choice in November then.
Yeah, well, since you mentioned Ed Rendell, and you mentioned a few minutes ago Lynn Swann, that maybe he didn't really reckon how dirty this game really is, but Ed Rendell is fully aware of how dirty it is, what goes on behind the scenes, and on his platform when he ran in 2002, that he was going to lower property taxes, he was going to do this via gambling, etc. Well, none of these have come through yet, and I want to ask you, Russ, has Ed Rendell accomplished anything of significance during his tenure as governor so far?
Well, Ed Rendell will tell people that he's accomplished 6 of his 7 major points when he ran for office in 2002. And I would agree that he has accomplished 6 of the 7 things he ran on. Now, those 6 things are not all that good. It includes things like that Growing Greener 2 proposition, where it was basically, you know, the only thing that was growing greener was the politician's pockets. it was a big debt that Pennsylvania is going to go into. But the thing about Ed Rendell is that, I mean, his major promise was, I'm going to reduce property taxes, and I do believe he put a 30% figure on that. And then he said that I can do it standing on my head. Well, Pennsylvanians don't have property tax relief yet, and Ed Rendell is certainly not standing on his head. What I'd like to do is I'd like to eliminate property taxes, because I believe that property taxes are philosophically opposed to our Constitution.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Politicians in the General Assembly level and higher have acted very brazenly in the past. They seem to have a lot of faith in their ability to get reelected. What kind of reactions are you getting this year from the incumbents, considering what PA Clean Sweep and you are doing?
Well, you're absolutely right, and in Pennsylvania, we have the highest retention ratio of any state in the union of legislators, and basically it's between 98 and 99% historically. There's a lot of reasons for that. The party machines, the gerrymandering, you know, the special interest money, the whole nine yards. excuse me, I have a horrible cough. Ask your question again, Lisa, because my cough threw me off a little bit.
Since the General Assembly level legislators and even politicians higher up than that They've had a lot of faith in their ability to get reelected in the past. Considering what you and PA Clean Sweep have been doing over the past year or so, what kind of reactions are you getting from those camps now?
You're absolutely right. I mean, they have been very, very brazen. And, in fact, the pay raise was a very brazen move by the legislature. But I think that they are very, very aware of what the people think. And we can point to the latest property tax proposal that got approved by the Senate on a 40-9 vote and then was sent over to the House. And I believe the House Republicans just kind of stalled off on it because I believe that they understood that the people saw through this property tax relief fiasco for exactly what it is. What it was Act 72 warmed over. And yes, it had a back-end referendum, but that referendum is like Swiss cheese because all the major things that school boards raise taxes for are accepted out of the referendum clause. And it had a little kicker in that it would have given senior citizens, poor senior citizens, who are more likely to vote than anyone else, a little relief next year. But I think that they saw that whether they if they approved that the people had already seen through it and had already, and thank God that the people did, and we can directly relate that to the 4 months that the pay raise was open. Those citizens in Pennsylvania have woken up. They've been able to see through this. They know the lingo now. They know how it works in Harrisburg, and when they see a really bad bill coming down the pike, they're willing to call it out. And I think that's why you didn't see any real action from the House of Representatives, at least, on this latest property tax plan. I think they're scared to death. I think these people have isolated themselves. I think the pressure that we put on from outside government forced them to isolate from each other, you know, because we have so many challengers out there that they're not allowed to share their money. Every man for himself in Harrisburg right now, and woman, to tell you the truth. So
and what we've been doing,
they're very scared, they're very leery, and next Tuesday when we have that primary election here in Pennsylvania, we are hoping to send a serious message that we're mad as hell and we're not going to take it anymore.
And we've been saying the same thing on Wing TV here, Russ, is we're saying that, and this is for people all across the country, not just in Pennsylvania, is in the primaries and the midterm elections, vote against the incumbent.
Yeah. Do not, under any circumstance, vote for an incumbent or the status quo.
And just get them out of there. But there's a guy up here, and I want to close the show out with this. His name's Tor Michaels. He does a radio show host. And he's also been involved in campaigns in the past. And he's been talking on his show about how disappointed he is with Ed Rendell's performance. But then he says when he sees his ads that they're very impressive.
Oh, yeah,
and he says
are.
That there's a guy, here's a guy that really has a machine behind him. Plus, since he reigns from Philadelphia, he has an even bigger machine or a bigger empire down there in Philadelphia. How do you and other candidates in Pennsylvania deal with this machine of Ed Rendell down there in Philadelphia?
He is a publicity machine, that's for sure. And, you know, something funny I saw about his ads is that he's bragging that he balanced the budget in Pennsylvania. Well, in Pennsylvania, we have to have balanced budgets. We can't have anything else because it's written into our Constitution. You can't believe everything you hear, but you're absolutely right. Ed Rendell has a ton of money already. He's running TV ads already. And what that does is that sells him to what I call the American Idol crowd, the people who don't pay attention to politics but only sit around and, you know, watch sitcoms on TV or what have you. That's who he's playing to. He's trying to sell himself to the voters. And, you know, the truth of the matter is, if you have a really bad idea, you better get off your butt and do some selling, because that's the only way you get a bad idea sold, is to spend a lot of money doing it. What I hope is that the people of Pennsylvania wake up and they realize that the more money someone spends to try to get elected, the worse they probably are. And that real good messages and real good ideas don't need a lot of money behind them to sell them, because they spread like wildfire. It's folks like you and other folks in the media who are spreading the word, who have pulled the curtain back so that we get a look at the man behind the curtain and have revealed the truth about what goes on in Harrisburg. And that's what we have to do. And everybody who's listening to your program right now needs to go out and tell 10 of their friends to pay attention. 10 friends to tell 10 more friends. That's the only way this job is going to get done in Pennsylvania.
Well, and we need to increase your public exposure so that people know that you're out there, because that's the way to wake them up. If they don't know that you're out there, then they're not going to wake up, and we intend to do our part in that effort as well.
Yeah.
Well,
right.
I sure appreciate that, and I'll do my best, just like I did with DA Clean Sweep.
Well, we couldn't be prouder of you. Everybody out there, go to russdiamond.org. And, Russ, we hope to have you on a couple more times before the election this fall. And like we said, you're one of the people that not only all Pennsylvanians should be proud of, but everyone in the nation, because you're trying to take back this political system that's been hijacked by this Republican and Democratic machine.
Hey, Russ, are you going to be doing any public events around the state?
We're already scheduling events for my campaign. We have a campaign calendar at russdiamond.org, and if everybody can keep peel to that, and I come to your a town near you, come on out and see me. I'd love to talk to every Pennsylvanian possible this year. But you're absolutely right, Victor. The eyes of the nation are on us. Everybody across the country has been quietly watching Pennsylvania and is quietly anticipating what's going to happen at our primary election next week. I believe if Pennsylvanians go out, vote their conscience, and replace a lot of these incumbents, I believe there's going to be a wave of hope that sweeps across the nation that we can actually take our government back.
You know, there's a simmering revolution going on here in Pennsylvania, and the nation should keep their eyes on it.
Yeah, and just thank God you're around, Russ, and make sure you get one of those events up here in Center County, because we're going to come out and see you.
All right, well, you can set one up, too, if you'd like.
We might just do that.
Yeah, well, Russ, thanks a lot. We'll talk to you again soon. Everybody out there, russdiamond.org. We'll be back tomorrow on Wing TV. Until then, keep your eyes open, because there's a lot going on.
See you all then.